Son las 6:45 y está con nosotros vía telefónica Charles Seville, director de calificaciones soberanas de Fitch Ratings, recordando que Fitch bajó la calificación de México, la ubicó en triple B menos con perspectiva estable. Charles, thank you very much for taking this call.
Also, good morning.
What are the main drivers about the decision of Fitch in terms of the great investment of Mexico?
Yeah, well, first of all, I should mention that, you know, we are going into a very, very serious global recession that's going to affect all countries in the world. And our perspective on this is that we want to be forward-looking, and we're trying to work out what this means for sovereign creditworthiness, and it's bad for sovereign creditworthiness around the world. Now, you know, we're also looking in particular at the situation of Mexico.
Le pregunto, pues, ¿cuáles son el motor, digamos, de la decisión? Me dice que evidentemente estamos en una crisis muy fuerte, que es global, y por supuesto ellos están analizando qué significa para México. I would like to ask you, there is, will it be different, the outlook for Mexico, in terms of the analysis you do, if there was a robust fiscal response, or is it... not that very different. What is your take in the fiscal response and the ponderation that it has in the classification of Mexico?
Sure. I think, yeah, Mexico has made a lot of efforts over the years to curb the growth in federal government debt, and we actually saw that. It's been on a very gradually rising trend over the years, but has recently stabilized now. The situation is, you know, that many countries are offering a bigger fiscal support to the economies. Mexico is deciding to not do that and to kind of prioritize stabilizing debt and not borrowing. That is not, you know, there are different approaches, but we have been having to look over the medium term at which one could be more appropriate for the economy.
Le pregunto que cómo se ve, o si sería distinto, digamos, la ausencia de una respuesta fiscal en México, si fuera más robusta, y me dice que se ve una tendencia, digamos, en México, en donde a través de los años, si bien se ha incrementado el tema de la deuda, gradualmente, pues, se ha mantenido bajo control, y por supuesto esto es un factor importante. Now, obviously, Mexican economy is linked to the United States, but we don't have a very clear outlook in terms of what is going to happen with the U.S. But what will be the more likely scenario so far, in the understanding that we don't have that much clear scenario in terms of COVID? Because there are still a lot of uncertainties. But what is the base scenario in terms of the United States link with Mexico?
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. Mexico is very deeply linked to the U.S. economy. We see a very steep contraction that's already begun in the U.S. with huge rise in unemployment. We're going to see a sharp drop in GDP in Q2. The question now is, you know, what does the recovery look like? How quickly does the economy start to open up? So we'll have a very steep annual GDP growth decline, but we expect it to start to recover in the second half. But I think it's going to take quite some time to get back to where it was. And there's obviously potential damage to, balance sheets of corporations and banks, and jobs lost, and that will delay any recovery in the U.S.
Me dice Charles que estamos viendo una aguda caída de la economía de Estados Unidos, que obviamente hay cierto nivel de incertidumbre, pero que se espera que haya una recuperación en la segunda mitad de 2020. Now, is there a risk of decoupling in terms of the Mexican and U.S. economy? And I'm thinking about the absence of a fiscal response and the bankruptcy of a lot of companies in Mexico. Is that a real scenario, or is not in the scenario that you're making?
I think the two are still very closely linked. You know, Mexico's a very open economy. Of course, you know, how trade performs is critical. So I would expect if the US can grow, then, you know, this should help the Mexican economy. And, you know, bear in mind that, you know, it's the export sector that's actually proved to be quite dynamic. I think actually medium term, one of the reasons that we have some confidence in the Mexican economy is the very close link with the US and, you know, the links through the NAFTA and now to be replaced by TEMEC, which, you know, which gives us confidence that there's a, you know, a real role for Mexico as an exporter and trading partner in North America.
Le pregunto a Charles si hay la posibilidad de que se desvinculen las economías, sobre todo por que hubiese una quiebra masiva de empresas ante la ausencia de medidas fiscales, y me dice que no, que realmente, pues en el medio término están, son economías muy vinculadas, que la economía de México es muy abierta y por supuesto que hay mucho dinamismo en términos del intercambio comercial. Now, in the analysis, it mentions that the macroeconomic policy interventions in a range of sectors have damaged the investment climate. Would you say that that eclipses the fiscal conservative position of Mexico, the business climate that has so far come?
Yeah, I think we have to look forward. I mean, any country obviously accumulates debt, and that represents everything that's happened in the past. But what, you know, what a country uses to service its debt is its future stream of tax revenues. And so it really depends a lot. You know, creditworthiness in a country depends on the skill of policymakers and the strength of the economy, but also on the economic performance and how the tax base performs. And I just think we've seen a number of, you know, cases. We all know them. I mean, starting with the airport and the energy reform, and you know, there have been more recent examples of, you know, the way the government is applying regulation or that have, I think, some discouraged investment. And, you know, we saw that investment contracted pretty sharply in 2019, and that's why going into this crisis the economy wasn't really growing. It was that, together with the, you know, the impact of the first year of the administration.
Le pregunto a Charles qué tanto, bueno, pues cito una parte del comunicado que es pues justamente el deterioro del ambiente de negocios en función de acciones microeconómicas, y me menciona que sí, bueno, pues en tanto la solvencia de un país se da con respecto a la capacidad de generar ingresos por su base tributaria, en ese contexto, pues decisiones como citaba el tema del aeropuerto, algunas decisiones pues sin duda plantean, digamos, cierta debilidad en la inversión, y que en 2019 pues la economía ya estaba pues relativamente débil. Charles, last, what is the time framework in terms of another decision? Would you say it will take 12 to 18 months, or could be before?
Well, we typically review big countries twice a year, so, you know, we were due to review Mexico, you know, in the first half of this year. I will revisit. Obviously, things are moving very quickly, and, you know, so it's difficult to put a time frame on this. I mean, there is a stable outlook, and I think that reflects some of the strengths of Mexico and, like I say, the credibility of policies over the years, and some of the, you know, the strengths that the economy has. So I'm not necessarily, you know, looking. You know, the outlook is stable, and that really represents an equal risk of the rating going up or down.
Charles,
to any projection, there are downside risks in this environment.
Obviously. Thank you very much, Charles, for taking this call. It's a pleasure talking to you.
Okay, I'm cool. Okay.
Ahí escuchamos a Charles Seville, el director de calificaciones soberanas de Fitch Ratings. Me decía que, pues normalmente visitan o revisan la calificación de los países dos veces al año, y bueno, pues esta sería para la primera mitad, pero que obviamente en el ambiente que estamos viviendo, pues todo puede pasar, pero la perspectiva es estable, y en ese contexto pues no se ve inmediato, pero claro, estamos en escenarios inéditos, este que plantea el COVID.